You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of February 27th, 2019, and this week, we retire a meme.
Aww. Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Albor.
My name is Scott Juster.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a serious but not humorous conversation about video games. And this week, we're losing a friend.
No, Reggie.
This week, we're talking a little bit about Reggie's departure, Reggie Fils-Aimé from Nintendo, which was announced, last week. Last week is when it was announced.
Yeah, it broke late last week, I think.
And the impact he's had on Nintendo and Nintendo generally, where they're at. Also, a little bit of the Pikachu movie, because that trailer came out today as well, and it looks kind of cool.
Coincidence?
I think not. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was still talking to you before the podcast. Maybe this is Reggie's way of just getting out of the disaster fire that the Pokemon movie is going to be. You know, heads might have to roll.
Yeah, he's blades will bleed, heads will roll.
So regarding Reggie, and the fact that even we just
my favorite Oscar nominee for independent filmmaking.
Can you look, I am not normally the type of person to spend a lot of time wanting to, you know, honor or remember like executives. I find like they get plenty of compensation without the constant sense of like attention that people give them. But Reggie Fils-Aimé seems like a pretty important dude to be leaving Nintendo. Am I right?
I think that's the whole point of this, right? Like he's one of the few video game execs that pretty much everyone who follows video games closely seems to know.
Yes. And seems not to absolutely abhor.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Until we find out that he actually is responsible for the Pokemon or the Detective Pikachu movie.
That's that's true. It was his idea all along. I mean, he, you know, Reggie's what has been at Nintendo of America for like 15 years or something.
Yeah.
I want to say
I had his Wikipedia page up and it was 2004.
So I'm sure within those 15 years, there's some like heinous thing that he's done or overseen. You know, like let's be perfectly honest, right? This is in the heyday of like weird company decisions and like bad press releases and booth babes and stuff. Right? He probably fucked up somewhere along the line. I think that's probably a safe bet.
Well, I mean, he may have exercised his demons earlier in his career, because he came from mega corporation Procter & Gamble originally.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. He got all of his sins out in the truly heinous company that is Procter & Gamble.
He was the senior director of national marketing at Pizza Hut.
That's right, yeah. I feel like I remember seeing a video where he was talking about his Pizza Hut experiences. Oh, no, you know what? I think it was an article about how like he was pivotally involved in some particular Pizza Hut marketing strategy that,
oh my god,
I wish I could remember what it was. It was something ridiculous.
I mean, the interesting thing about him is that he is not really a video game guy, you know, like he didn't start off as a developer or publisher or, you know, anyone related to the industry. He was, you know, he was a corporate guy.
Yeah, but the reason he's known and loved today is because he seems like he's been destined to it, right?
Right.
Like, yeah. He, I think in the way that people think about it, it's like, it's almost as though we forget that he has that background. It's more like he's just some kid off the street. Like, he's fucking Miles Morales who, you know, he just put on the work suit. And
he's like the 7 foot tall Miles Morales.
Well, I mean, Reggie Fils-Aimé, in the way that he's marketed himself, certainly, and his marketing team has marketed him to the fan base, right, is that he is a true down-to-earth Nintendo fan. I don't think that there's much evidence against that just being factually correct. I mean, he's clearly a fan of the Nintendo franchises and series, and you can kind of tell in just the way that he's willing to put himself in some of their marketing material and be willing to take those punches and be made fun of by the wider gaming community, because he stands by those Nintendo products.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and this he burst on in a Barack Obama like speech. He burst on the scene in 2004.
Yeah.
With the, you know, what was the quote? Hold on, let me find the quote. Okay. My name is Reggie. I'm about kicking ass. I'm about taking names, and we're about making games.
Is that the real quote?
Yeah.
Holy shit, man! That was a different time.
It really was a different time. How youthful and not a naive we were back then.
Yeah. I mean, I also remember the video he was in where like the lasers blast out of his eyes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. And he apparently he has gone on to say like, oh, you know, that was, you know, I didn't write that, you know, that was the marketing and the speech writing teams that were doing that. But to your point, he was one of those people that always seemed up for it, you know. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, I'm game, I'll do this, you know.
Yeah.
Like I'll do something silly on stage, which is funny, because I think maybe one of the reasons why we still, he's one of the people that stands out, is that Nintendo is generally a kind of a weird company when it comes, yes, to that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I was gonna say exactly that. Like, I think that, and we talked about it on the podcast before as well, but Nintendo's just this weird outlier, just even in terms of the culture, right? It is a company that is very Japanese at times,
yeah,
especially in their marketing messages, and at the same time so unabashedly almost like childlike, you know, like they really lean into, I mean, almost like the best comparison would be like Disney in a way,
yeah,
you know, where they're willing to wholly embrace that the fantasy making that, mm-hmm, is their position. And Reggie, I think, as a personality, was well positioned to be that weird bridge between something that could be really off-putting, which is Japanese business culture and Japanese, you know, the management of a business and the way that they're really open about stuff, right?
Right.
You could see it when we talked about not too long ago the Metroid announcement, where they did a whole YouTube video bowing and apologizing yeah, for delaying Metroid 4, right? Like, yeah, that is something that is bonkers wild. But almost across the board, Nintendo fans give them a pass in a way that I think fans of almost, I think just flat out, no other fan of a publisher does anymore.
You know,
BioWare has completely lost that goodwill. Yeah. You know, like Activision doesn't have it. Ubisoft doesn't have it. Like, there are always going to be rabid fans, but man, Nintendo is just still this bizarre, shining example of a company that can be weird and can be distant and yet still get such a overwhelming sense of goodwill from its players. And I think Reggie, in all of the way that he positioned himself as I'm a down-to-earth executive, I think walked that line really well.
You know? Right.
It's basically a perfect representation of what Nintendo would be. Anthropomorphized. You know, Reggie Reggie is the moe anthropomorphic version of Nintendo we've all been dreaming about.
I mean, it's also, to your point of it being a Japanese company, there's always been a kind of a somewhat of a weird relationship with like Nintendo of America versus Japan. And so you kind of do, if you want any sort of identity separate from the main corporate entity, there needs to be a pretty strong personality there, because otherwise you basically have Miyamoto and you have a constellation of other people that take care of Mario and Zelda, and they're just such dominant forces in that company that it's hard to break out of that. And from what I have heard and read is that for a long time, maybe less so today, Nintendo was a very mothership centered company, you know, like what came out of Japan was dogma and that was it, you know? Yeah.
Well, and to that point, I'm sure it was a very difficult job to be Reggie, you know?
Yeah.
Or even to manage the perception of a company that is so constrained by the Japanese HQ,
right,
but position themselves as though they're sort of like they're the independent source for everything Nintendo in North America, you know?
Right.
Like Reggie is fielding questions about crazy weeboo Japanese games that he's got absolutely no say over, you know? Like,
right.
Kotaku was writing an article about them asking him about Mother 3, and he has like this really comedic response, but he didn't fucking control if Mother 3 came to the US, you know? Like, he doesn't know that shit. Like, they decide on a whim whether or not, you know, half the fucking Fire Emblem characters get ported over or not. Like, that's not his call, but
right.
He was certainly it takes a particular personality, I think, to be willing to be the stand-in for a company that you actually, probably at the end of the day, have very little power over.
That's a good point. He was, and it probably goes back to his training in sales and marketing and in those various companies, but his job was to sell Nintendo's decisions to a more global audience.
Yep.
And get people hyped, basically. Like, I mean, his whole thing was a weirdly specific hype man, where it's like, strap in, motherfuckers, it's Wii Fit, you know? Yeah. Like, it's kind of a weird thing.
And how many times have we seen, like, really awkward hype men? You know, like the EA Sports guy that's, like, always schlocking soccer looks like that. I mean, I'm sorry, but, like, that guy just looks like a total douchebag. Whatever, maybe he's a nice guy. But the point being is, like, it's not easy to be that guy, you know? Yeah. There's not very many people that can do that and still feel authentic, you know? Or at least he comes off that way, I think, to a lot of people. And that's pretty remarkable.
Well, and I think it's authenticity. It's authenticity because he's not trying to be cool. Like, this is a guy that every time he came on stage, he was wearing either a suit or a polo shirt. You know, like, he was a corporate executive through and through, rather than a, like, what up, gamers? It's your boy Reggie. It's like he was doing the company speech. He was just, you know, he was talking about the products, but he wasn't pretending that he was, you know, 25 years younger than he was.
Yeah, he never skateboarded on stage at E3.
He never,
how's it hanging,
he never
fellow came kids.
With, exactly. He never did the Buscemi gif of.
Yeah. Sometimes E3. I wonder, though, like, the things that he said that got memeified, like, did they write that ahead of time? You know, how much of the Reggie personality is actually, like, well curated? You know?
I mean, to hear him say it a fair amount, he was saying that he didn't write that. He didn't write the I'm here to kick ass or whatever. I got to imagine some of it was spontaneous, like the my body is ready thing, like that sounds like him, you know, like that didn't sound written.
Yeah, and people still say my body is ready, like, all the time.
Yeah. I often forgot, like, where that came from.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I think I've used it, like, this week, and I forgot about it until we started recording.
So what are some highlights from the Fizeme era that stand out for you? I mean, this is what? This is a 2004 to 2019 era. I mean, think about some of the big shifts that Nintendo went through.
I mean, I gotta say, you know, and again, we talked about it a little bit previously, but the fact that he can get through the Wii U era unscathed, unscathed, right, is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, he even, I don't know when, he joined as, like, a VP or something and you know, was promoted to COO or president or whatever he ended at. So, I mean, I guess when you sell just ungodly amounts of Wiis, you earn some capital there or something.
That's probably true. Yeah,
I mean, but that's the other thing. I, you know what, thinking about some more, I'd be willing to bet the Wii U was a largely Japanese-driven decision.
Oh, I'm sure. And I'm sure the Switch was as well, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's always curious because I don't know enough about, like, I'm going to be real. I have no fucking clue what executive management at that level really do. Like, I imagine a lot of it is driving around in their Maserati sipping Americanos and stuff and, like, talking on the cell phone really loud and something about mergers or whatever, right? Like,
strategic,
I'm sure,
ideation, George. Come
well,
on.
Like, what are the elements of Nintendo's business making decisions am I actually aware of that Reggie was in one way, shape, or form?
I mean, for him, just from what I know about just corporate structures in general, I would imagine a lot of it is sales and marketing.
For sure. Know,
like, or organizing the machine that sells a Nintendo game.
Well, I mean, what I will say is, you know, I think now in retrospect it seems like it, but I'm not entirely convinced that the Switch was an easy sell to begin with. You know, like, I think the way that they were first positioning it with that trailer where everyone's, like, hanging out on a rooftop, like, drinking out of Dixie cups and shit, like, there was a lot of conversation about, well, I don't know if I'm convinced that people are really going to do this, you know?
Right.
But it worked.
It did. And I mean, I think, that might speak to the value of having a an experienced business guy and a strong personality, where it's like, okay, I know my region. I know just the fundamentals of marketing something and, you know, what will appeal to a mass audience in a way that maybe Nintendo struggles with every now and again. And it's probably a good balance. Like, if you think about the balance between being totally weird and artistic versus, hey, we have to keep the lights on. You know, it's a good foil to that, you know.
I'm also curious how involved he was in a lot of the decisions to partner with like NCSA game developers, like indie developers in particular. You know, like, you and I've lauded the Switch's strength in the indie space, but I think the Wii U even had a pretty strong indie game slate,
right?
Or at least they tried, you know, even if the Wii U wasn't the best habitat for it. But the Wii also, to some extent, and the eShop had plenty of indie games that were super interesting. You know,
I also think the focus on the uniqueness of their offerings versus just continuing to try to play catch up with Sony and Microsoft was something that he was pretty good at.
Especially, you know, in an era where, like, Sony and Microsoft were swinging big, you know, like the statements that they were making at their press conferences about the most fucking, we have all the fucking HDs. We go, we're so backwards compatible. Like, you're going to be playing shit that you didn't even know existed in the 80s, you know, like, people were saying outrageous claims, and Nintendo was never really like, oh, well, also we do this, like, well, you know, hey, you can, we got dongles, you know.
I mean, this, they were, and it really, it was a philosophy at the time, like, kind of in the late, you know, 2000s to, you know, kind of early 2010s or so, of like finding an untapped but very large market. Like, I forget what they call it. I don't know. In the tech industry, they call it like the blue ocean strategy, where it's like there's this huge upside that isn't really being served. And that's like, that's exactly what the Wii was, or that's exactly what, you know, a Nintendo DS is versus a PSP, or a Vita rather. You know, it's something that is serving this broad market of people that traditionally wouldn't have been thought of, but it's just an amazingly horizontal strategy.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think that he'll continue to be kicking ass and taking names, or is he retiring from that as well?
I mean, from what I can tell from the articles that we read, he's just retiring. Like, he's going to spend time with his family and stuff.
I mean, like, he's loaded, right? Like, why not?
I mean, yeah, this guy had a hugely successful career, and I'm sure has much stock in many very profitable companies.
Yes.
I mean, Nintendo being the least of them, you know?
Well, and then on top of that, right, like, there's not, I'm not quite sure that there is a higher position to be right now in terms of that Nintendo train, you know?
Yeah.
Like, everything's looking fucking rosy as hell.
Yeah.
He's not, there's no sense that he's leaving and everyone goes, oh, he's leaving because, like, he's tanking the company or they're secretly pushing him out, right? Like, had he left during the Wii U era, you can't avoid but looking as though you're going to be taking that criticism. To leave right now looks like you are leaving at the top of your game.
Yeah. And I mean, it's hard to argue, because I mean, what the Switch is their fastest selling console, period, you know, ever. It's hard to argue with that.
I cannot imagine what it must be like to be Doug Bowser, being like, well, I gotta fill those shoes. Like, because here's the thing, I'm gonna predict it right now, there's gonna be some real cringeworthy shit where he tries to deliver a line that Reggie would have delivered effortlessly and have it come off as super awkward. Because he's going to make a Bowser joke, you know? Like,
I think E3's going to come out. Have.
Yeah, there was the image where he had, like, Mario and Luigi bound up in a game.
That's what it was. Yeah,
controller. Yeah. But, like, I'm imagining straight up him, like, awkwardly kidnapping some cosplayer dressed as Princess Peach or something, you know? Like, just, like, really, really out of touch moment.
I think it would be funny if they had Reggie back for various Nintendo skits that they do. Like, you know, if they ever do another, like, claymation or Muppet thing or whatever, they should just have him in there.
Yeah, where, like, he just drives on, like, a Mario Kart past the audience or something.
He well, actually, this might piss you off, but, like, he will become the Stan Lee of Nintendo Directs.
Oh god. Yeah, maybe.
He'll just be like, ding.
Yeah, there he is. There's his face. You know what they should have done? Animate him as like a cartoon, and then just he never retires.
Oh, I was going to go further and just turn it into like a whole vocoder or like Hatsune Miku or something like that.
Yeah, dude, I mean, we are in an era where like the de-aging and up-aging process is so good that we don't need Reggie anymore. Like, he can just be a robot Reggie. You know, like, make the Reginator actually real, you know?
It's like the young Samuel L. Jackson in the new Marvel movie that's coming out.
Yeah, exactly, dude. It's fucking time travel.
It was just like Mario, he never ages and never dies.
Exactly. Do you want to talk about Detective Pikachu a little bit?
Let's talk a little bit about Detective Pikachu, because another trailer came out, speaking of Nintendo stuff.
Woo! What a doozy. This movie is so weird.
I think this movie looks great. I don't see movies anymore because I'm, you know, taking care of my own little Pokemon, but...
Yes. Snorlax?
I wish it was Snorlax.
Yeah, that's true.
It's more. Well, what's the most destructive Pokemon?
Yeah, I was going to say, if your child was a Pokemon, what Pokemon would it be?
Man. Yeah, it's more of a, like... What's the Pokemon that is basically like a really angry monkey? Was it Mankey? Is that
Mankey.
A Pokemon?
Yeah, Mankey. Yeah, or Chimchar. But he's pretty chill.
That's I feel like that's a bit more.
Oh, because he climbs on stuff.
Oh yeah, definitely, and just pure mischievous destruction. But anyway, that's why we don't see movies anymore.
Here's the thing. I really want to lower my expectations. I'm just gonna flat out say it because like I have to keep saying this so that I'm not disappointed. I think this movie is gonna suck.
Oh, really?
Not really, but I have to say that. Here's the thing. Oh,
okay. This is the secret thing happening right now. You're putting this out into the universe.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I hope. I don't know. Maybe. Think of it this way. I think that we have a long history of video game movies, right? Mm-hmm. None of them have been good. This one seems weird.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's going to be good. You know? Like,
no.
I think... There's a real chance that if the movie went full weird, it would go too far and the Pokemon company would pull the reins on it.
Yeah.
So there's a chance that this becomes just a sort of mundane story. And actually, to be honest, I think that the latest trailer made me more concerned because there's so many rando Pokemon just floating around in the background that it felt a little bit like it could become... this year's Ready Player One, you know?
Oh, it's like too much fan service.
Yeah, where like some insufferable Pokemon player in the audience is like, that's a level one starter, or whatever, you know? Like, oh, that one transforms into so-and-so. Like, spoiler alert for the Pokemon Detective Pikachu Pokemon movie trailer number two. But like when Mewtwo shows up, it's played like a huge reveal. Like, it's Mewtwo. And fair enough, you know? Like,
yeah.
He's a popular Pokemon. People dig Mewtwo. He's in Smash Brothers. I get it. But
is Mewtwo the villain of the Pokemon universe? I mean, he's clearly like a powerful Pokemon, but like, what is his deal these days?
I mean, these days, I don't know. I think he used to be, but he was probably like mind controlled or some shit, which is probably the case here. Like, you know, so I don't know. All that is to say, I think that we would do ourselves a favor by reining in our excitement a little bit.
Hmm. But the hype train.
I know. I mean, all aboard.
I will say, to provide the counterbalance of that, I will say I get a very... I mean, I don't mean to put it in the same league as this, having not seen this movie, but it kind of reminds me of the trailer of something like Thor Ragnarok, where you're watching something that you expect to be either serious or... so serious it's cheesy, and they just seem to be having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah
I mean, they even have comparison. Like a silly, like, you know, they have the I need a hero song playing the whole time, with a full voiceover. It just seems like they, I don't know, I and maybe they're just very good at cutting trailers, you know, they're like rock star level
trailer
artists or something,
sure,
but it seems like they are taking it in an absurd way, in a funny way, versus just a overly cringy way.
I hope that's true. Because you're right, we have seen bad trailers, right?
Yeah.
The Godzilla movie, that was what, like a couple years back? One of the best trailers I've ever seen. awful film. So, you know, there's always a chance. Here's the other thing that weirds me out, and I think I'm probably the only one that's disturbed by this, but I don't think in the trailer they have shown enough of the way that the world would realistically be transformed had it always had Pokemon in it, you know?
Oh, like you mean like the infrastructure?
Let's talk about the Flintstones for a second, right? Like, okay. Flintstones is set in this fantastical world where dinosaurs and human beings coexist. And
oh, you mean the real world, George?
Well, there's just a bunch of dumb shit where, like, the garbage disposal is a dinosaur. And, you know, there's all of these, like, dumb ways that they've thought about integrating dinosaurs into, the infrastructure of the world. Now, fair enough. That's also ridiculous. Like, that goes too far, you know, whatever. But in the trailer, it's just Pokemon existing in this, like, filthy, disgusting version of, like, New York or whatever, right? Yeah. Like, all of the doors are regular door-sized, you know? All of the cars are, like, basically car-sized.
Mm.
If we lived in a world where Pokemon were as ever-present as they seem to be in this one, shouldn't we expect to see the world a little bit better built for Pokemon? There should be, like, Pokemon-sized doors. Or do all Pokemon go back inside their balls when they're, like, leaving places? Like, are there Pokemon car seats? You know, like, we see some guy with Machamp. That dude is fucking huge. Like, what does he drive? How does he get to work? You know, like, these are the questions, like, no one is going to be asking, but are, like, important questions, right?
I think you've ruined the Pokemon games for me, because the Pokemon games don't tackle that at all.
Well, but importantly, most of the Pokemon games, like, the biggest city in the Pokemon games has what, like, 15 buildings?
I guess that's true. Know, like, and it's also a large... the Pokemon games are very extreme in their subjugation of Pokemon.
Yes, absolutely. And
this
movie
seems to be not as much.
Well, I'm a little bit confused by that, because we do see some Pokemon just chilling, right? Like, we see a Snorlax sleeping downtown, right?
By the way, just chilling is the new 600th Pokemon.
He's ice type.
Just chilling.
just chilling. The, like, fighting arena seems, like, weirdly, like, actually violent, but he says he wanted to be a Pokemon trainer growing up, so, like, I don't know. There's a lot of questions this type of thing makes me ask, and Pokemon makes me ask it, too. You know, it's not like it gets a pass or anything, but, like, these are the questions I'm going to constantly be thinking about. Can you be allergic to a dog Pokemon? I don't know.
Oh, my God. I mean, that Pikachu looks like I could be allergic to it. Like, it's very furry.
In the trailer, we see a Ludicolo, like, working behind the bar. Whose Pokemon is that? Does he get the money? Do they use currency?
Like, how do tips work?
Well, who do you tip, right? Like, is he just the bar back? Like, does the bar owner own... Did he catch this Pokemon himself and then use him here? And, like, imagine you're... Like, let's imagine the Pokemon world, right? Like, you're a Pokemon, some fucking asshole kid catches you in the tall grass, right? Mm-hmm. And then you basically go on an adventure, you fight Pokemon. Like, what you do is fight other Pokemon. What you do is use your skills, right, to face off against other Pokemon. Now, if that kid caught you and just went right back home and put you to work, that's fucking heinous. Like, that's not cool.
I should have never gone in that tall grass. My mom was right.
This is a world that seems as though, like, it has not reckoned with the actual realities of what an existence with Pokemon would be. And the Pokemon franchise itself has done a better job of that with actual, like, Pokemon liberation groups and stuff.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll have anything like that.
Like Pokemon liberation groups?
Yeah, I mean, especially if they are integrated into the society, you could see something like, oh, this is the town where Pokemon and humans live side by side versus this other, you know, Pleasantville version of Pokemon, you know?
I mean, if it doesn't, I will, that it has to, because the very premise of this, right, is that no one can talk to Pokemon except the main character, who can suddenly hear Pikachu talk. And Pikachu says, I can talk to other Pokemon, so this is why we should partner up. If he can talk to other Pokemon, then that means that at the very least Pikachu and the Pokemon he's talking to are like sentient creatures. And there's this language barrier that everyone in the world has.
Yeah.
You should not be using this just to, like, find your dad. Like, this is some revolutionary shit, you know? If all of a sudden we found out that, like, dogs were just fully sentient creatures that could speak to us, you know? Like, that would change how we lived with dogs, you know?
Man, far be it for me to you know, poo-poo on all these theories. I was just looking at it as like, yeah, man, this looks cool. Look at all those explosions. And well, you're like breaking open this existential crisis of
we live in a world where like fucking Mewtwo, this like weird, like he's human-like in some ways, naked creature with no genitals. So I'm still not quite sure how Pokemon reproduce in this world.
Right? Maybe there's only one Mewtwo. Actually, no. I think there's a canonical.
Well, the Mew one, right?
No, I think there is a canonical explanation for this. Like, I think Mewtwo is genetically engineered.
Okay, well, fine. Whatever. So, okay, again, do Pokemon breed? Like, does Pikachu get down?
Definitely breed in the games, for sure, because there's the gender, there's the sex of Pokemon, and then right. there's the breeding right. mechanics in, like, the more recent games, I think.
Well, then let me ask you this. Like, are there Pokemon breeders? Like, you know, look, we have dog breeders, right? Like,
yeah,
you
need to outlaw those Pokemon kennels.
I can literally say, I'm going to take my dog, and I'm going to go visit this lady who also has a dog that's like kind of a stud, you know? She's going to, that dog is going to bang my dog, and we're going to like split the babies. Like, does that shit go down in the Pokemon universe when you literally have like a fucking Machamp directing traffic? You know, like, does he make his own choices about love and marriage and like babies? Like, is there?
Yeah. Does he have agency?
Well, and then this kid also like doesn't believe that Pikachu can talk. There are creatures that are like literally magical wandering around the earth, and this is what you find hard to believe? Come on.
This is where you draw the line.
This is where you draw the line. Like, Pikachu can't talk. Meanwhile, let me get my coffee from a guy wearing a fucking sombrero made out of a leaf. Like, how does that make any sense?
Well, and also, if Pokeballs actually exist in this universe, which I'm not sure if they do. I don't know if I remember seeing them in the trailer. But if Pokeballs actually exist, then they have broken the laws of physics as well.
That's true.
So it's like, you're not going to draw the line of like breaking Newtonian physics. You're going to get freaked out when like an already magical creature talks to you.
Yeah, exactly. Very good point. Do you think that people keep Pokeballs like as self-defense mechanisms against Pokemon?
It's like, no, wow. He's charging.
Yeah, like if you get attacked by a dog, just throw a Pokeball, you know?
I wish I could do that to people on the BART train.
Oh my God, it'd be so much. I mean, I would get in the Pokeball. That's way easier commute.
I just roll myself in.
I mean, I can only assume it's spacious in there, like a magic lamp.
I think, yeah, I am. I guess I see your point. We should temper our expectations. I'm cautiously optimistic that also, like, I mean, Ryan Reynolds, this guy is at the top of the world right now. Why would he do a shitty movie?
He did Green Lantern.
Yeah, but he then made fun of Green Lantern in his other superhero movies.
Well, maybe in the next Deadpool, he's going to make fun of Pokemon.
Actually, fuck, you got me. Because if they're obviously going to make another, they are working on a new Deadpool and probably a Deadpool 3, let's be real. Actually, wait, did Deadpool 2 already come out? I think it already did, right? So yes. they are making another Deadpool. They have yes. to be. Those movies make a lot of money. Maybe this is just a grand trolling scheme to get comedic material for the next Deadpool movie.
That's actually a great idea. What if the next Deadpool starts and it's just Deadpool waking up from a dream where he's Pikachu?
Oh my God. Or like, or he pops out of a Pokeball.
Oh my God, yeah. Or just shows up in Pikachu world. I guess that's probably violates a IP agreement.
Maybe. Who knows? I don't know how the corporate politics in Hollywood work, but I mean, if Ready Player One could work, I imagine anything. Just imagine Deadpool, you know, shouting like, Pikachu, I choose you, and throwing yeah. a plastic Pokeball at his enemy and then saying, oh, I thought that would work. You know, like that. The script basically writes itself.
Yeah. Is there a Pokemon that you want to see in this Pokemon movie?
I mean, they had a lot of the heavy hitters already. Like, they had that weird Psyduck, right?
Yeah, dude, the Psyduck is super creepy. They have Jigglypuff.
They had the Jigglypuff. That Jigglypuff looked pretty rough, too. Oh, that looked like a rough and tumble Jigglypuff.
Oh, yeah, when Jiggly gets angry? No way, man. That's horrible.
I would like to see a... You know that... God, what's it called? It's one of the original ones. It's like a toxic... Oh, coughing. I would like to see a coughing
in real life. That's a great one, actually, yeah.
Because he floats, too. It's a floating Pokemon.
And the jokes write themselves, right? Like, coughing walks into a bar, the bartender points at a sign that says no smoking.
You know? And then he gets sad.
Exactly, like, but don't. It's so hard in this town.
Maybe that's why they made this movie, is that the goofs just flow.
Yeah, they just flow. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's all references. I want to see a Pidgey, because I also want to see them confronted by the idea that a Pokemon is also just a bird.
Did they...
Do other animals exist in this world that aren't
Pokemon? I was going to say that exact thing, because it's always a point of contention in the Pokemon world that it seems like Pokemon take the place of many, if not all, animals.
You know what I've decided I actually really want to see? I really want... You know how, like, the Pokemon have, like, really animated facial expressions that make them look, like, real and human and stuff? Mm-hmm. I want to see... What's that cow milk tank? Like, I want to see someone milking that cow while they're, like, standing on 2 feet with their arms on the hips, and then just, like, turn to look at the camera and, like... smile.
Raise one eyebrow.
You know, just like rub the head of the guy that's milking them.
Well, it's like kind of like a Luke Skywalker thing in the latest Star Wars, where they just chug it directly.
Just going to town on that thing. Yeah, that would be amazing. Yes.
I mean, this movie is probably rated PG. They probably couldn't get away with that.
Black Bart, dude, I don't care.
I definitely want to see this movie, but we'll just leave that there.
Yeah, we'll wait. I'll definitely see it. Yeah, I'm gonna see how many people I can bring to it.
Yeah, if you can dilute the pool so that it's not just you sadly watching the Pokemon movie alone.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna be the guy being like, I know that one.
You're gonna be the one standing in front of the theater, dramatically turning your hat around backwards.
Yeah, like... exactly. But the hat is Ash Ketchum's hat.
Ding, 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 ding. Oh, experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our website. You can find us wherever fine podcasts are sold for free. Come down, give us a review, all that good stuff.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will be talking to you next week.